Morning, everybody. Today's daf in Erevin, daf Lamed Hey. We're starting on Lamed Dalem and Beis. Okay, and we're starting with the Mishnah. Okay, there are two Mishnahs. We should be on the second Mishnah, but we're not on the first Mishnah. Okay, we'll correct that. We'll try to make it up. I'd like to try to get back to speed today so that Shabbos we are not pushing and not rushing. The Mishnahs here are continuing on the discussion of who ve'eruva b'makom echad. You and your Erev have to be in the same place. You want to make your Erev Tchum. You want to relocate for the Shabbos. You want to move your Makom Shvisa from where you normally dwell and move your domicile to the new Makom Shvisa because you want to extend your Erev, because you want to extend your Tchum. Good. That has been the discussion over the past week as we started the third parak of Erevin. We moved on to discuss the issues of Tchumim. And as we go on in the third parak, we're going to deal much more with the actual Tchum issue. We've been up until now talking about food. Food has been a big topic in terms of what you can use in terms of the Erev. We then had a small discussion of Shlichus. And then, for the past couple days, Lama Gimel, Lama Dalid, so we talked about putting the Erev up in a tree and the requirement of Hu ve'eruvo b'makom echad. You and your Erev have to be in the same location. Now, when we say you and your Erev have to be in the same location, same halachic location, meaning that if you're in a Rishos HaRabim and your Erev is in Rishos HaYachid, so that's not going to be good. That will not work. Because in order to access your Erev at the time where it works, where it's being effectuating your new Tchum, so you can't access it. Now, when does it work for you? When is it Kona? It's Kona during the Ben HaShemashos period. So during this period, you have to be able to access it. If there's an Issa Daraisa that's impeding your access to the Erev Tchum, so then that's not going to work. So, as we've been discussing the past couple of days, if you're in a Rishos HaRabim and your Erev is in a Rishos HaYachid, that's no good. If you're in a Rishos HaRabim and your Erev is in a Carmelis, where there's only an Issa D'Rabbanan to acquire your Erev, to access your Erev, so that's subject to a Machlokas. We've seen the Machlokas yesterday's daf. We're going to touch on it again today. Rebbe, as in Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, allows a person to violate Isuri D'Rabbanan during the Bein HaShemashos period, and the Chachamim say no, that you cannot violate neither Isuri D'Raisa nor Isuri D'Rabbanan during the Bein HaShemashos period, and so if it's an Isur D'Rabbanan between you and your Eruv, so that's the Machlokas, and the Halach is like Rebbe, where the Eruv would in fact work. Good. That has been our discussion. The Mishnah over here basically continues along this discussion. We're on the first Mishnah, Lamed Amud Beis, Nasta Barosha, Kana Barosha, Kundus. You put the Erev on top of a pole. Okay, so I'd say fire hydrant, but really we're not talking fire hydrant. As you'll see, we're talking about a wooden pole put into the ground. And as long as the pole, the wooden pole, has been detached from the ground and reattached to the ground, so then it's going to work, and even if it's 100 amas off the ground. So now let's talk telephone pole. Okay, I know nowadays wooden telephone poles, oh my gosh, the thing of the past. But a wooden telephone pole, that would work, meaning that it's talushvenaots, it's been detached, it's been reattached, and even if it's 100 amas off the ground, so then the Erev would work. Now, why does it have to be detached and reattached? Right? That's a simple question. But the simple answer, which is not going to be so simple, presumably will be, well, because if I didn't detach and reattach, so then basically it's a tree. Well, you can't climb a tree on Shabbos, but wait a second.
Climb a pole?
What?
Climb
a pole. But he can't climb a... I don't recommend it, but yes, you're allowed to. You can't climb a tree on Shabbos, but wait a second. Again, this is during the Bein HaShemashos period. And climbing a tree is only an Issur D'Rabbanan. So why does the Mishnah require that the tree has to be detached and reattached? Can't we just simply say it's a tree? What's the big deal? And in the previous Mishnah, we were talking about a tree. Now, in the previous Mishnah, the issue was that huvei ruvein b'makom echad, because you're in the Rishos HaRabim and the tree is the Rishos HaYachid. Okay, but in other words, climbing a tree was not an issue. So over here in our Mishnah, it's going to be a really simple question now. Why does the Mishnah require that the tree be detached and reattached? Why can't just simply leave the tree be as it is? And the only thing that's preventing me from my Erev is an Issur D'Rabbanan of climbing trees. What's the big deal? The Gemara asks this question. So, Rami le Rav Adar bar Masna le Rav Tal Shvanot in lo Tal Shvanot lo Mani Rabbanan he. The only conclusion must be that our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, which prohibits the Surei Derabanan during the Ben Hashemeshes period, and that's why our Mishnah says it's no good. The Gemara says, wait a second, now I'm thoroughly confused. Hamart Reisha Rebbe. Now, go one Mishnah back in Erevin. Go back to the Mishnah that we did back on Lamed Gimel. Now, sorry, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. That Mishnah was talking about a tree. That Mishnah had no problem with us climbing trees during the Bein HaShemeshes period to access our Eruv. So the Mishnah on Lamed Beis is going like Rebbe. The Mishnah here on Lamed Dalamed Beis is going like the Chachamim. Hard to imagine. The Gemara is basically going to say, we'll try to imagine. So the Rebbe Reisha, Reisha Rebbe V'Sefer Rabbanan. So is that how it's going to work? Amalei Kvar Rami Le Rami Bar Chama LeRav Chista V'Shani Le Reisha Rebbe V'Sefer Rabbanan. So that's exactly what Rav Chista said. Rav Chista in the answer said yes. When you go back to Lamed Beis and you're learning that Mishnah is going like Rebbe. That Mishnah allows you to climb a tree. When you're learning our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim. You can't climb a tree. So how are you going to put your Erev on the pole? Take the tree out. I mean, it's a tree. I can't imagine. But in other words, take it out, put it back in the ground again. It's no longer a tree. It's no longer us midrabanan to climb it. Ravina Amar Kula Rebihi. The Gemara gives a different approach, and that is the approach of Ravina, that both Mishnayos are Rebbe. You see this time and again throughout Shas, meaning that there basically are two approaches in terms of how to learn Mishnayos. Meaning, do you like consistency, or are you comfortable with inconsistency in the Mishnayos, but at least you'll get a pshat in each and every Mishnah? Ravina says, no, I'd much prefer consistency. I want both Mishnayos going like Rebbe. So if our Mishnah is going like Rebbe, so Hadron Kushel Adukhta, we're back to square one. So why do you have to pull out the tree and put it back in the ground again? V'sefer Gzeres HaMayiktom. And in this Mishnah over here, it's a concern, a rabbinic concern, HaMayiktom. I may come and clip part of the branch. Now, how is that much of an answer? Meaning, if it's a gzera and our Mishnah is going like Rebbe, again, it's during the Bein HaShemeshes period. So, aren't we okay with Shvus during the Bein HaShemeshes period? Take a look at Rashi. Gzer Shema Yektom. Lefisha Hakana Rachu. This reed is very soft. Ekel Amigzer Shema Yektom. Kishakole. So, look, if I'm going to go after my Erev, the chances are, there's a good chance, I'm going to clip some of the branch. Aval Ilan Kashehu Uvein HaShemeshes L'Shema Yala V'Yitlosh Lo Chayshinan. So basically what Rashi says, Rashi doesn't spell out the question, but the question is there. Meaning, what's the difference between one Derabanan versus another Derabanan? So climbing a tree and ripping off a branch, look, that's awesome, mid Derabanan, right? Unquestionably. Okay, right. Basically, that's what Rashi's saying. That's awesome, mid Derabanan. But during the Bein HaShemeshes period, we're going to put it into it's an Issur Derabanan. But you're not... How do I say this? There's a chance that there's not a strong chance that you're going to break a branch. Avalaktimas kana vadaihi. But if we're talking about a reed and now the reed is very soft, it's not a chance. It's going to happen, right? Phil said it very well. It's a psik ratio. It'll absolutely happen. I derechicha mitama v'lav shvusu ela malacha demechayv mishum kotzer. So in other words, it's impossible. It's right, even though the Gemara uses the term gzera, and maybe part of my confusion is that the Gemara uses the word gzera. But gzera over here doesn't mean that, oh, the rabbis made a gzera. No. If the Chachamim made a gzera, yeah, maybe it will, maybe it won't happen. But it doesn't, in other words, but it's usher. During the Bein HaShemeshes period, it's fine. However, over here, when we're talking about a reed and it's soft, it's not that maybe it's going to happen. A branch is going to get broken off. And that's an issue of kotzer. Okay.
I'm going to the Chachamim. If I uprooted a tree and put it back, then it would be the same as a pole?
Yeah, that's fine. In other words, that's...
Even though it's a tree.
If it's a hard tree, that's fine. And then you're allowed to climb it. I know, what a funny conclusion from today's daf. You're allowed to climb telephone poles. On Shabbos. Okay. Don't try that at home. Ha'u pamusa da'asal anarda. There was a soldiers that were going into the city of Narda, and in the good old days, soldiers come in. That means less places for people to hang out. Right, the soldiers basically occupy the town. So Amr Rav Nachman Poka Avidu Kavushe Kavshe Ba'Agma. So Rav Nachman says to the Talmidim, look, we're having shir tomorrow. It just happens to be that we need to relocate. So he sends out the word to his students, look, tomorrow shir is not going to be taking place in Nahar Da. We're going to have to go to the outskirts of town, and we're going to have to go sit in the swamp, in the fields. And there, the only problem is the following. The problem is that there's like this soft grass, there's these soft reeds. So what I want you to do is I want you to press down on the reeds. And take a look at Rashi. Press down on the reeds. Suva kafu akanim zal zehar bay kemin kisaos leishev aleihem. Basically, what I want you to do is I want you to, before Shabbos, bend the reeds, so basically they're going to serve as makeshift seats. So that tomorrow, when we go out into the shir on Shabbos, so we'll be able to sit down on it. Good. That was his instructions to his students. So Rami Bar Chama says to Rav Nachman, Rami Le Rav Ukva Bar Abba Le Rav Nachman, Talush v'na'otz in, lo talush v'lo na'otz lo. Wait a second. I'm thinking now of a Mishnah in Erevin, third perek. We happen to be learning the Mishnah right now, so we know exactly where it is. So and that Mishnah in Erevin says, you can't do it. You can't climb a reed during the Benos, you can't put your Erev on a reed during the Benos Moshes period. And as we just learned in the Gemara, for fear that you may go snap the reed. And that'll be the malach of Kotzer. So what are you doing over here? You're allowing the students to manipulate the reeds before Shabbos, and even if they manipulate it before Shabbos, we're going to go out to the field and we're going to sit down on the reeds. Those reeds aren't even detached from the ground. So the student says to Rav Nachman, I don't know how could you do that? So Amalei Hasam Be'uz Radin. So Rav Nachman says, you don't understand. Our Mishnah is talking about where the reeds are very hard. So in other words, they're really easy to snap. They're not flexible, they're not soft, they're not pliable, and therefore, one movement of the reed, and the reed is going to snap off. When I instructed my students to go out on Friday, and to turn the reeds, again, not uproot them, but just simply bend them and turn them into seats, those are soft reeds. There's no problem with sitting on the grass on Shabbos. And basically, the reeds is long grass. It's fine. And Rav Nachman says, and let me just make my case to you that this is correct, that there's a difference between hard reeds and soft reeds. Detanya, because we learned in the following. This is a Tosefta on Kalayim. The Mishnah points to three things which are trees. Okay, obviously, again, you know me. I don't know what they are, but not. Important. Please don't misunderstand. But for our purposes, whatever they are questionable growth of the ground. So the Tosefta tells us that these kanim, these itadin, these hegin, they're trees. Now, ve'in a klein bekerim, and therefore don't violate the issur of klein bekerim. By the way, did you know that the issur of klein bekerim is only by vegetable? And by grain, meaning low-growing produce. But trees, though, there's no istof klayim of the vineyard in any tree. You can plant an orange tree right next to a vine. It's fine. There's no istof klayim. So these growths, the kanim, itadin, and hegen, they fall under the category of trees. They're min ilan, and therefore there's no violation of klayim. V'tani idach, good. That's one Tosefta. And then Rav Nachman says, I mean, really, look, talk about Bikias, talking about building a case. V'tani idach, and then we know another Brisa, Hakanim v'hakidim v'ha'arvanim min yerikain. The other Brisa says, and again, points to three different types of growth, but one of them is Kanim, and it says that these Kanim, you know what they are? They're yerik. It's vegetable, which means that there's a prohibition of planting Kanim within proximity of a vineyard. V'hein klein bekerim, kashya adadi, obviously, what are you going to do? You have two brises that contradict one another. Elish mamina, kan be'ozradin, kan b'she'ein ozradin. So Rav Nachman says, I'm right. My distinction has to be correct. That if it's hard, ilan. If it's soft, yerek. Shmamina. So Rav Nachman says, I'm right. So Rav Nachman says, what I told the Talmidim to do is not a problem whatsoever. It basically, it's sitting on the reeds. It's like sitting on the grass. which we know, of course, you're allowed to do. The Kidam in Yeriku, the Gemara just has one footnote to this entire discussion. The most recent Braisa we just quoted out of Kalayim says that Kida is a vegetable. V'hatanan ein merachachim pegam algabe Kida levana. You're not allowed to graft. Ein markivin pigam agabe kida. You're not allowed to graft pigam on kida levana because that's yerek beilan. Because then you're grafting a yerek onto a tree, and that is an isser of kalayim, of crossing two different plants together. So what do you see over here? You see that kida levana is in the category of tree of Elon. So I'm Rav Papa Kida Lachud Kida Levana Lachud. So Rav Papa says, look, there's Kida and there's Kida Levana, different species. One's a Yerek, one's an Elon. Okay, so not to be confused. Okay, footnote to the whole discussion. Nasnu b'migdal v'avan hamafteach. Okay. Oh, I don't even want to tell you how many times I lost the key. But I know I'm not alone in this world in terms of losing keys. So you put the Erev Tchum away, and in fact you want to make sure that no one's going to touch your Erev Tchum. So you put it into a chest. So you put your Erev out yonder. You put it in a chest. You lock it, and you lost the key. Now, by the way, losing the key on Shabbos is fine. Fine, but in other words, that's not a problem because, again, as we've said over time and again, time that you're kona the Erev Tchum is during the Bein HaShoshes period. Right. So obviously, when we're talking about losing the key, we're talking about losing the key before the Bein HaShoshes period. You lost the key, and now what? Hareza Erev. So the Tana Kam in our Mishnah says it's okay. It is an Erev. And Rabbi Eliezer or Yemeinu Yodesh, Maftech Mim Kamo, Eino Erev. Rabbi Eliezer says, you lost the key, it's not an Erev. You can't access your food inside, and so therefore it's not going to be an Erev. So what we have in our Mishnah is a very simple machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer. What happens, what is the status of your Erev if you can't access the Erev? This is a different type of you can't access than what we've been seeing up until now. Up until now, the issue has been a halachic impediment. You're in one rishus, your Erev is in another rishus. So previously we've been talking about halachic impediments preventing you from getting to your Erev. Now we're talking about actual physical impediments, although it really is halachic as well, as we're going to discuss in just a moment. But right now, it's in the safe, I lost the key, I can't get to it. Now, the simple question, which we're not going to spend much time discussing, although it's really an important question, is, okay, so why don't we do the following? Lift up the chest, hold it really high off the ground, and drop it, and break it, and get the Erev that way. Why not do that? Now, maybe there's a financial consideration, maybe it's really expensive, and maybe you don't want it to break, but halachically speaking, why not just break it?
If you really want it to, you have that access.
Right. In other words, and again, by the way, access is not that you actually have to get it. Access just simply means that as long as you could get it.
Right.
So why not break it?
The same is kind of this father Raymond does. He's got the potential to get it.
Right. Correct. So why not break it? And so this discussion takes place in Tosfos, right? The Tosfos on the side of the Gemara.
Isn't that similar to the rabbi that said? Branches out of Shabbat, you cannot go get it. So it's the same situation. If you
Ben Hashmashos,
you
had
the key.
Right. But
then after
Ben
Hashmashos,
there's no discussion. It's fine. Meaning, because it did what you were supposed to do, it acquired for you your new point. Well, you lost it before Shabbos. In other words, before the Ben Hashmashos period. Okay, so break it. So Tosfos has this discussion in terms of why not just simply break it. Okay, and it's an important discussion, and it goes back to the Gemara at the end of Shabbos that we did together regarding the barrel where you wanted to break it open on Shabbos, and the Mishnah says you could just simply lop off the top of the barrel in order to get the wine in the barrel. And so breaking to access food is fine, at least over there in Shabbos. So what's the difference between the Gemara and Shabbos versus our Mishnah over here? Why does our Mishnah assume that you simply can't break it? Okay, so it's a discussion, important discussion. It impacts halacha lamaaseh because then questions of opening up, you know, all your food packages on Shabbos. Okay, it's really important. We're gonna focus and stay with the Gemara, but just know that it really is. It's an important discussion that I'm bypassing. So the Gemara says, I don't understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, according to the Tanna Kamma, says that the food was in a migdal, it was locked up, you lost the key, so the Mishnah says the Erev is good. So the Gemara says Erev is good. What do you mean? You lost the key. Who b'makom echad ve'eruva b'makom acher? So how should it be good? You can't access the food. And again, the Gemara is assuming that we're not going to break it. So the Gemara's answer is Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayo Ach Bemigdal Shalavanim Maskinam or Levanim Maskinam, I should say Levanim. So Rav Meir Dami Poches Lechatchil Venotel. So the Gemara says we're going to have three pshatim in our Mishnah. Okay, no less than three. In terms of how do you understand our Mishnah? Pshat number one is the pshat offered by Rav and Shmuel. Our Mishnah is talking about where the migdal. We assume the migdal was made out of wood. It was a wooden chest. So first answer is nope. That's not what our Mishnah is talking about. Our Mishnah is talking about where the migdal is made out of bricks. Now disassembling bricks, that's for sure the malach of Soser. There's no mortar, no paste between the bricks. So in other words, it's just simply bricks stacked one on top of another, forming a chest, some sort of enclosure. And the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rav Meir. It's fine. It's fine to take the bricks off one at a time. So therefore, you do have access to the Eruv. The Gemara says, how do I know Rav Meir feels this way? It's a Mishnah in Beitza. Ditnan. The Tanna Kamma of the Mishnah in Beitza says, let's say you have a house. It's a storehouse. It's filled with fruit. And on Yontif, the door breaks open. Okay, car ran into it, an animal ran into it, and it gets breached on Yontif. So the Tanna Kamma says, that's great. Now go in and take your fruit. Now there's another issue which we're not going to be discussing much of right now, which is a muksa issue, meaning if the fruit was in a sealed silo going into Yontif, so that means that you weren't planning on eating those fruit. Those fruit are muksa in the most literal sense, meaning not set aside for Shabbos. They were not mukhan for Shabbos, or in this case, Yontif. So there's that issue. Rashi points out over here, that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, the Tanna Kamma, that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, leislei muksa. But again, I don't want to throw us off our main point, which is, the Tanna Kamma says, you can't disassemble the silo. You have to leave the bricks as it is, and only if, by some accident, the door opens up, then you can go get the fruit. Rabbi Meir Omer, poches venotel lechatchila. And Rabbi Meir says, no, go ahead. What do you mean? What's the problem? Bricks? Pick the bricks up. Now what does that mean, pick the bricks up? You can disassemble bricks on Yontif? And that's what Rav Nachman comes in to explain. Yes, he can. Those bricks over there in that Mishnah and Beitza is talking about where the bricks were stacked one on top of the other. There's no mortar, there's no paste. The bricks were not glued together. And so therefore, that's not a problem of Soser. Here too, our Migdal that we're discussing here in Erevin is one of bricks where it was not mortared together. The Hamar Rabbi Zera B'yamtov Hamar Avala B'Shabbes Hachanami B'yamtov. So the Gemara says even that lenient position of Meir, that's just limited to Yontov, but it's not true by Shabbos. Now, why can we be more makel by Yontov than by Shabbos? I'm not sure. Meaning, maybe you'll throw around the terms Ochal Nefesh. Yeah, right. It's his food and he wants to eat it, and Ochal Nefesh. Ochol nefesh does allow us to violate certain malachas, but not all malachas. Okay, but somehow, for whatever reason, which I'm not totally clear about, but that's my problem, and that's my lack of knowledge, but this heter of Meir is only for Yontif, not for Shabbos, so the Gemara's response is, okay, our Mishnah is talking about Yontif. Fine. Right. In other words, right. There's a question of muks on the food, and there's also a question of muks on the bricks as well. Okay. That point is very, very well taken. So the Gemara says, okay, but even with all that being said, there is a Tosefta on that Mishnah in Beitzah, and the Tosefta reads as follows. Rabbi Elazar Omer, there's a Tosefta on our Mishnah in Erevin. Okay, no, I'm sorry. Right, we're now talking about our Mishnah. Im bi'ir avad eruva eruv, im basada avad ein eruva eruv. Well, it depends on whether or not you lost the key in a city versus you lost the key in the field. Meaning, where was the eruv set up, in a city or in a field? If it's in a city, no problem. If it's in a field, that's a big problem. Now, let's understand, before we go further in the Gemara, what's the difference between a city and the field? Why should it be that losing a key in the city is not a big deal? Why? Because I can get a locksmith? No. In a city, because the city is an enclosed area, I'll be able, if and when I ever find that key, which I will, the key's going to come up. Just a question of when it's going to happen. When I find that key, I will have no problem transporting the key from wherever I find it to where the Migdal is. I'll go from the rooftop to the courtyard, to the Karpov. Remember the position, Rabbi Shimon, which we talked about time and again, and we're going to see it time and again, who allows you to transport items from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid, a strange Rishus Yachid, but you can do so. You remember back in Shabbos, we talked about the knife of the Mo'el, where basically you can transport it from the Karpov to the Chatzir, to the Gog. So here also, I'll get the key over to the chest and I'll unlock it. In the field, however, nothing doing, right? In the field, I won't be able to carry the key from wherever I find it to the chest. That's the difference between the field and the city. Now, that's only when is all this become a consideration? Shabbos. On Shabbos, Yontif, there's no problem with carrying. So in other words, once we're talking about distinctions between field and city, and we're talking about issues of carrying, now you know we're talking about Shabbos, you know we're not talking about Yontav. So, and the Gemara asks this very question. In the Ibi, Yontav, Mali Ir, Mali Besada. So if we're talking about on Yontav, like you want to argue, there's no difference between field versus city. Top of Lamed Hamad Aleph, so the Gemara says, Chosur Mechzor V'Hachi Ketani. Okay. When you learn that Tosefta, so obviously there are missing pieces to the Tosefta. We're going to now go over the entire Tosefta again, fill in the missing pieces. You put the Erev in the chest. You locked the chest. You lost the key. Harei ze Erev. The Erev works. That's true. On Yontav, aval b'Shabbos ein Erev al Erev. So on Yontav, it's fine because on Yontav, you have this opportunity to break open the chest because, again, for whatever reason, we're going to be more makel on Yontav regarding Soser than we are going to be on Shabbos. So if it's Yontav, you're good. However, on Shabbos, now it presents more of a problem. Nimtza ha-maftech, bein b'ir, bein b'sad, ein eruv ha-eruv. Now, if you find the key, but too late, the eruv is not going to be an eruv. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Beir Eruv Eruv Basada Ein Eruv Eruv. And here now Rabbi Eliezer makes a distinction between the city versus the field. Since in the city I'll be able to bring the key over to the chest, again, because Rabbi Eliezer over here employs the ruling of Rabbi Shimon, which is I can go from the Gog to the Karfaf to the Chatzer, so therefore I'll be able to transport it from wherever I find it to the chest, you're good. In the field, I won't be able to get the key over there, therefore it won't work. Wait, just give me 1 second. Let me just finish the thread, and then I'll pause. So, Ein Eruv Eruv, Be'ir Eruv Eruv, Rabbi Shimon, Damar Echaz Gagos, Ve'echa Chatzeros, Ve'echa Karfifos, Rosh Hashachas, Ein Lekel, Sheshavta Besochon, Besada, Ein Eruv Eruv, Kerabanan. Okay, period. That is the end of approach number one. Quick recap. So again, the question is a very simple one. In our Mishnah, you locked your Erev up in a chest, you lost the key, our Mishnah says the Erev works. So why should it work? You and your Erev are not in the same place. So approach number one, the Erev that our Mishnah is describing is bricks, right? A house, or in this case a chest, made out of bricks. The bricks are piled one on top of the other. There's no mortar. There's no problem with disassembling the bricks, at least according to Rav Meir. The Tanakam of our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rav Meir. Okay. Go ahead.
If this is all happening, like, why couldn't you just carry it anywhere? Like, it's been Hashemashah. Why don't you apply, you know, like the...
If you're finding the key on Shabbos, you're good. I'm sorry. If you find the key on Shabbos, it's too late. Meaning, because there's only one time period where the Erev is going to kick in, and that's during the Benesh Moshe's period. Okay. And if you find the key after that, so in other words, you didn't have access to your Erev during the Benesh Moshe's period, it's done. The issue over here is that even if I didn't find the key, is there another way of accessing? So our first explanation of our Mishnah is that our Mishnah is talking about a very specific scenario where it's made out of bricks, there's no mortar, and our Mishnah is following the viewpoint of Rav Meir. I'll just pick the bricks up one at a time. Okay.
If he has the potential to actually walk there and physically be there
that potential we won't say. Meaning the potential to be there is not enough. Either you're there or your food is there. One of the two.
But the thing is, but if he could walk there and cannot break the box, it's not the key, right? But it's physically there. He's already established his.
If he's physically there, so then the Erev is accomplished not by the food but by him.
Right.
That would be fine.
Right.
Our Mishnah is just highlighting that if he's not there and the food is there, but he has no access to the food, so then strikes one and two. He's not there, and even if he were, he wouldn't have access to the food. Okay. Okay, that's approach number one. We go to answer number two. Yes. Because the food is what's acquiring.
I know, but he has to go to the
Erev. Again, we keep. I know.
He needs
to at least be able to take that food. He doesn't have to physically be there, but in other words, but access. There has to be him with the ability to access that food. That's the key to this entire discussion, and I really didn't mean to say that word. Yes, but that's the key. Rabba Rav Yosef Darmi Tavai Wacha Bet Mikdash Eitzas Kinan. So now shot number two of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not talking about a Mikdash Eitz. I mean Mikdash Eitz. It's a difficult shot, although Rav Shmuel will say it, so you know. You got to respect it, but Rabba and Rav Yosef say no. It's Migdal Shel Eitz. It's talking about a wooden Migdal. Demar Savar Klihu ve'ein Binyan Bekelim ve'ein Steer Bekelim Mar Savar Olahu. And so what Rabba and Rav Yosef now are suggesting is, what category do we put the Migdal under? Do we file Migdal under Kli, or do we file Migdal under Ohel? Is it an overgrown utensil, or is it a really small house? Now, makes a big difference. If it's an overgrown utensil, there's no malacha of stira and there's no malacha of binyan when it comes to kalim. That point, by the way, could be much... We could really sit on that point for a while, but in other words, let's right now just keep it nice and simple. Okay? If, however, the migdal is not an overgrown kli, but a really small house, so then... Can you destroy a house on Shabbos? No. That's stira. So in other words, what category, how do we file the Migdal? Are we filing it under Kli? Are we filing it under Ohel? That's the machlokus in our Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanakhama says that your Erev is good, he's filing it under Kli. Not a problem. Break a Kli on Shabbos, fine. And the Rabbi Eliezer files it under Ohel. And now what the Gemara is going to do is, you see, how do I know that there's such a debate as to how to file a Migdal? Let's take a look together at a Mishnah in Zavin. We're really all over the place today. I mean, thank God, that's what happens in Gemara. We go to Mishnayos, we saw a Tosefta in Kalayim today, and now we get to see Mishnayos in Zavin. Then now we learned in a Mishnah in Zavin, Heikish Agabi Shita Teva Migdal Temein. Let's say a Zav. Now, Zav is a man who had a discharge, not a seminal discharge, but, you know, another type of discharge. And he's under the category of Zav. and he is metame, he's an avatama, and he transmits tama either by negia, by touching, by carrying, right, by sitting on something meant to be sat on, and by moving an item. Heset. Heset is a way of him transmitting. So in other words, if the Zav were to move the table, table now becomes tame. Okay? And even if he doesn't touch it, like so Rashi gives the example. Let's say he's wearing gloves. Okay? Or let's say, he takes a bat. He takes a bat at it and swings a bat at it. Okay, either way, he moved an item, and therefore the item becomes tameh. And this method of transmission is called heset. So now the Mishnah discusses the following: let's say the zav takes and moves a chest, sheet of tevel migdal, tameh. So the Tanakam of the Mishnah says it is tameh. Meaning, file shita teva migdal under what category? File it under kli, clear kelim or mekabel tuma. Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Shimon mitarin, and Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Shimon say no, that it doesn't become tame. Why? File it under ohel. We know we've said this so many times. An ohel is not subject to tuma. An ohel, by the way, will
make everything else.
Correct. I'm thinking of the right word, and I got stuck. All right, stuck in midair. Right. The OL will facilitate and spread the tuma, but the OL itself does not become tame. The second paragraph of Shabbos, we had this discussion. Right, depending on what the OL is made out of, but generally speaking, OL does not become tame. So my love, hakamiflegi. So what I just said, the Gemara says, isn't that exactly the pshat in that Mishnah Zavim? Mar Savar Klihu, Mar Savar Olahu. That's exactly what's going on over here. So once again, you see that how to file Migdal, do I put it under the category of Kli or do I put it under the category of Ol? That ostensibly is the Pshat in the Mishnah in Zavim, and that's our Mishnah here as well, in terms of whether or not I could dismantle it on Shabbos. You see, I'm ignoring that point, by the way. Danny's raising a very good point, and Danny wants to know, doesn't it matter how big it is? You see, I'm ignoring that point. Rashi didn't ignore that point, and I'm ignoring that point.
It was a big thing, 40
sa'ah. Right, we've said it a number of times already, if it's 40 sa'ah, right, so then it's too big, and then it's not. So if it's over 40 sa'ah, so then what's the debate?
Right.
Okay, so that's it makes this discussion a little more complicated. You can take a look at Rashi. Rashi does discuss it. So Amar Abaye v'Tizbra v'Atanya all v'Nisei Tamei Cleve and Eveno Nisei Tower v'Ktani Seifa v'Imayu Nisotim Tameim Zaklal Nisei Machma Kocho Tamei Machmas Ra'ada Tahor. Wait a second, the Gemara says that's not true. Even by an ohel, if I have a zav who moves an ohel, the OL becomes Tame. So in other words, we went into this discussion assuming that when you have a Zav moving an OL, it's not going to become Tame. That's not true. It's simply not true. When it comes to this Tumah transmission of Heset, it does not matter if he's moving either a Kli or an OL. The only time it's not going to become Tame is what the Gemara refers to as Ra'ada. What's Ra'ada? So Rashi describes where basically you're standing next to the chest, you're jumping up and down on the ground, you got to be a weighty person, and basically the vibration, the reverberation is going to shake the chest. So the chest did move, but Rashi describes that's koach kocho. That's too far removed. That's not a direct causation of movement, and that's why ra'ada is not considered heset. But what we've just learned is that it does not matter whether it's a clear, whether it's ohel, if the Zav is Mesit this item, it's going to be Tame. So Abaye says, this Mishnah in Zavim, we're going to have to give a new pshat. Hacha bira'ada machmas kocha. Over here, it shook based on your action. What exactly does that mean? If you take a look at Rashi, I shook based on your action. Rada machmas kochu shehike shaleim mamish v'lo nitkan v'lo hustu ela ra'adu. You hit it.
It didn't move.
It shook.
It didn't,
but it didn't move. That's the machlokus. Meaning now we saw it move, but it didn't. It shook, but it didn't actually move. That's the machlokus in that Mishnah in in Zavin. Uvahaka miflugi, the Marsavra have a hesed, Umarsavra lo have a hesed, Umasnisim of my mukmila, Abai Varav Adame Tarvayu, and now we're going to give now a third pshat of our Mishnah. Although I say a third pshat, it doesn't sound like the Gemara liked the second pshat of Rabban Rav Yosef. So now the Gemara say we're going to say a third pshat in our Mishnah. And that is the following. It's locked, and you know what right now is preventing me from opening it? It's knotted with a rope. And now the question becomes the following question. Can I on Shabbos take a knife and cut the rope? Yes or no? And the issue over here becomes the following issue. Remember back at the end of Shabbos we talked about Muksa, and we went over the number of opinions there are regarding Muksa. The generally accepted position, which is that of Rabbi Yehuda, although if I remember correctly, at the end of Shabbos, Major Machlokas, who we paskin like. But Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that as long as it's the kli whose normal usage is for heter items, so you could use that kli for whatever you want to use it for. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have a knife. Knife, normally, what do you do with a knife? I cut food with a knife. On Shabbos, I can take the knife, I can cut food. If I want, I'll cut a rope. Again, as long as there's no violation of any malacha. If I'm cutting the rope to a certain measurement, okay, that's mechatech. But in other words, just to cut a rope with a knife, not a problem. That is the Tanakhama. So therefore, our Mishnah, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, holds like Rav Yehuda. The only things you can't use is a Macharesha and a Maser HaGadol, but that's because of Muksa Machmas Chisarun Kis. Fine. And Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, who is he following like? He's following like Rabbi Nechemya. What's Rabbi Nechemya's rule when it comes to Muksa? I can only use a knife to cut food. In other words, even though the knife is normally klisha malachta laheter, but Rabbi Nechemya takes the most stringent position, which is I can only use it for its general usage and not for any unusual usage. So therefore, I can take the knife to cut food, but I can't take the knife to cut the rope, which is right now holding the migdal together and prohibiting me access to my food on Shabbos. That, says the Gemara, is our third approach to our Mishnah. If we may, just think about this third approach for just a second and really wonder out loud. Now, I'm not going to present my question. I'm presenting Tosus' question, which is the following. We have now a third interpretation of our Mishnah, which is, it's a question of Muksa. Whether or not I can take a knife to cut the rope. According to the Tanakhama, yes, you can. It's a knife. You'll have to take a knife in Shabbos. And the Rabbi Elazar of our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nechemya. If this is an issue of Muksa, let's remind ourselves. When are you accessing the Erev? During the Bein HaShemeshes period. Right. So now Muksa is a Derabbanan issue. There's no Issa Daraisa of Muksa. Muksa is a Derabbanan issue. If our Mishnah is going like Rabbi, so then what's even the issue? Right? If the only thing that is preventing me from opening it is an Issa Muksa, Issa Muksa is a Derabbanan, and doesn't Rebbe allow me to violate Isuri Derabbanan during the Bein HaShemeshes period? Now, what you can say is that Lamed Dala Amud Beis, there are two Mishnayos. So the top Mishnah, what do we say the top Mishnah is following? Like the Chachamim. So maybe this Mishnah is also following like the Chachamim. Perhaps you could say that, although Ravina, if you remember in the beginning of this morning, Ravina didn't like that pshat. Ravina thought that even that Mishnah is going like Rabbi, so that's difficult. So I'm just pointing out, as Tosus points out, I'm just reiterating Tosus's point, it's a little bit tricky, this last pshat in our Mishnah, because it really revolves around Muksa, which is only an Issa Derabbanan, and if our Mishnah is going like Rabbi, so then why should it be a problem? Okay. And now we start the new Mishnah. Nizgaga chusa tchum nafal avgal nisraf truma v'nitmez mi ba'ojom eino eruv. Misha chashecha hareza eruv. Something happens to your Eruv. Okay? Like the Mishnah gives a number of examples. It rolls outside of Tchum. Meaning you put it on the edge of your Tchum and it rolls out. Or rubble falls on top of it. Or it got burnt, or it's truma which becomes tame. If all this happened before the Beinash Mashmas period, you're out of an Eruv. It does not work for you, obviously, because it's Kona during the Beinash Mashmas period. If all this transpired after the Beinash Mashmas period, you're good. The Eruv was effectuated, it was activated, and therefore you're good. And now, the big question of our Mishnah, what if you don't know?
Who's Ben Hashmash that you're
following? That's a good question. It's an important question, but I want to... Correct. I'm ignoring you. Because I want to deal with the conceptual, and you're getting way too practical for me. So the... and what if you don't know? You don't. In other words, you got there Friday night. You saw now the Erev is gone, and you simply do not know
when it happened.
So what's the ruling over here? How is the Erev? Im safek, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Omrim, how is the chamar gamal? So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda say, you know what you are? You are both a donkey and you're a camel. It's one of the greatest expressions. You're going to hear this a number of times in our Masechta. Chamar gamal. It's good to get used to it now. Now, on the board, I drew for you Chamar Gamal. Okay, now, all I did, what do you see? You see two dots and three lines. And you can question my artistic ability. Yeah, good. Good, donkey and camel, right? You know, no one sees a donkey and camel over here? But basically, it means like this. Look, your general domicile is over there, represented by bias. What you did wanted to do is you wanted to change your tchum to allow you to walk 2,000 amas to your Erev, and then an additional 2,000 amas towards me. And now the problem is as follows. You simply do not know whether or not your Erev was activated. Because you got there Friday night, and you saw, it's not there anymore. I don't know. See, this I don't know now is a really tricky I don't know. Because maybe yes, maybe no. Now, if yes, that means this is your point of center, and you can only go 2,000 amas in this direction. If no, this is your point of center, and you can only go 2,000 amas in these two directions. And because you don't know, and it could be this and it could be this, so here I could say literally you're stuck between a hard place and a rock. And so now, I can't go to the right because this may be my point of center. And from here, I can't go to the left because this may be my point of center. Right. And so therefore, on that particular Shabbos, I'm limited now between walking between my house and my Eruv. Right. That's the expression of Chamar Gamal. You'll see this a number of times. Good. Good. And you now bring us to the next point of the Gemara. So, perfect timing. Harei zeh Chamar Gamal, Rav Yosef, Rav Shimon, Omrim, Safek Eruv, Kasher. I'm Rav Yosef Avto Mosein Mishum Chamisha Zekinim Al Safek Erov Shekasher. Okay, please allow me. The upcoming Gemara is very straightforward. We're just going to run through about, I'd say, almost a half an amud of Gemara. Nizgalga Chutz Tchum Amar Avol Hashanu Al Hashanu Nizgalga Chutz Arba Amos Avol Tocht Al Amos Anosin Erov Yeshlo Da Amos. Do you remember? We talked about this just a couple days ago. When I set up my Erov, I have a virtual Rishus Yachid, which gives me 4 Amos. So when it says rolls out of your 2,000 amas, what it means by that is beyond your virtual 4 amas that were given to you. Nafal of gal kasachadach di by matzis shakalei lema matzis and delo karebi di karebi hamar called avashu mishum shvos lo gazro alav benesh mashos. The rubble falls on top of it. So what? Start picking up the rocks. What's your worry? Moksa? Okay, but it's benesh mashos. So I feel the Karebi lo tzricha de bay mar vechatzina. So the Gemara says, no, if it's just a question of picking up rocks, you're right. In order to get to your Eruv, you need to take out the shovel. Taking out the shovel, that's a malacha of Choresh. Utzricha di tan nizgal gom mishum delay segabei, aval nafal av gal di segabei ima lehave Eruv. And look, these points are both necessary because rolling out of your tchum, it's no longer here. Rubble falling on top of it, it's here, just slightly inaccessible. And we can go the other way in this argument, where if the rubble falls on it, I don't see it anymore. If it rolled out of tchum, just like it rolled out, may roll back. That's why I need both points in the Mishnah. Lodicha, I'm sorry. Lamalei Tana Nisraf. Right, the case of it got burnt up. Like, why does the Mishnah have to give us that?
The rolling back after Shabbos is going to help. Once Shabbos starts.
Right. Your point is well taken. Again, these are Havaminis. We're just... Lodicha Kocha de Rabbi Yossi, Tana Truma... I'm sorry. Lodicha Kocha de Rabbi Yossi. To show us the strength of Rabbi Yossi's position, even though it's no longer here, it burnt up, still Rabbi Yossi says it's fine. Tana Truma v'nitnes Lodicha Kocha de Rabbi Meir. So, and it comes out that why then Truma becomes Tamei? To show us the strength of Rabbi Meir's position, meaning even though it's here right now, and the only issue is that it's Truma that becomes Tamei, still Rabbi Meir says it's no good. Now, Sava Rabbi Meir Sfeikel Chumra. Oh, wow. Look at that. And well, just give me 1 second. And it comes out that according to Rabbi Meir, it's a Safek and we're going to be Machmir. Why? Danny said it. It's an Issa de Rabbanon. So why are we going to be Machmir? So the Sava Rabbi Meir Sfeikel Chumra V'atan and Tamishir Lit Bol Safek Tava Safek Lo Tava V'Afilo Tava Safek Tava Ba'ar Ba'imsa Safek Lo Tava Ba'ar Ba'imsa V'Cheshne Mikvas Ba'achas Yesh Ba'ar Ba'imsa V'Achas Ein Ba'ar Ba'imsa V'Tava Ba'achas Me'Meina De'Be'Zem Tava Sfeik O Tamei. Let's say I'm Tamei. I go into a mikvah. I'm not sure if the mikvah was kosher or not. I went into the right mikvah or not. In other words, this is Safek. I don't know. Conclusion: You're not Tower. But that's only if your tumah is a tumah de araisa. Aval, but tumah kala kigon shachal ochlin tamei v'shatam ashken tamei v'ha haba roshav ruba ba ma'im shuavim oshenaf la roshav ruba shlosha logim ma'im shuavim v'yared lit bol safik tava safik lo tava. But let's say your tumah is just a tumah de rabbanan. Go back to Shabbos, right where the Gemara over there goes over the Yud Ches Davar, the 18 gzeres that were enacted by Beis Shammai, that eventually Beis Hillel had to capitulate to, and over there those are all Tumah Derabbanans. And now I went to the mikvah. I'm not sure if the mikvah was a kosher mikvah or not, and the Tumah is only Tumah Derabbanan. You're fine. V'afil tavo safik tavo bar b'imsa safik lo tavo bar b'imsa v'chein shnei mikvos b'achas yesh bar b'imsa v'achas ein b'mar b'imsa v'tavo b'achas mem v'ina de b'ezem mem tavo sfeiko tahor and Rav Yossi is mitame. Now, this position of Rav Yossi is not our focus right now. Our focus is the Tanakama, who we're assuming is Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir says, if it's just Tumah Derabbanan and it's a safik, we're going to be mekel. So here also, by Tchumim, Eruv, it's the Rabbanan, so why are we going to be Machmir? And the Gemara's answer, which we'll stop with, and we'll continue tomorrow, Kasavra Meir Tchumim Da Raisa Ninu. So, yeah, good, very good. Who's Rav Meir a student of?
Right.
Good. So the Gemara now is suggesting that Rav Meir says that Tchumim is the Araisa, and that's why in our Mishnah, Rav Meir is Machmir. Okay. Much more to discuss on this issue. We continue tomorrow. Continued for Shlema 4, Binyamin Zeva Cohen, Ben Sharon, and Rivka, for Yakira Avraham, Rafal Yakira Avraham, Rafal Zaka Avraham, Ben Yakira Avigal. Thank you. Rabbi Chanan Ben Nakasha, Marissa Gishbach, Zaka Zalfi, Chachir, Ben Tar Mitzvah, Shanema, Nechafetz, and Mansiko, Yagdil Taravi Adir.